Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. I'm on my third cup of delicious Harvest Ridge Coffee, and I need every bit of it on this Monday morning. So you can pick up Harvest Ridge at your office, like we do here at the Radio Ranch, or you can go and have it at home, which is always wonderful. Or if you're out and about and you need a pick-me-up, just stop at your local convenience store and ask for Harvest Ridge Coffee. Today's the day we talk about mental health. We're going to talk today about screen time, and in the news very much, both Illinois and Missouri legislatures, Iowa too, have been talking about limiting screen time, personal phone use, for students. So we're going to delve into that this morning. But first, let me introduce you to our first guest. I'm going to let her talk about herself, give her credentials, because I can never remember what all those credentials are. So take it away. What a beautiful top you have on today.
Thank you. It's kind warm of weather. Yeah.
Yeah. Springy. It's like a springy top with a little sweater over it.
Yes.
So you're prepared for all kinds of weather. Well, tell us all about yourself.
Sure. My name is Trina Vogel. I'm a licensed clinical social worker at Cornerstone. I practice as an outpatient therapist at our organization, and I've been working with families in this capacity for about 14 years, and prior to that, I worked in child welfare and adoption.
Okay. Very important, all of those topics. And one of the things we often talk about is the severe shortage of therapists and people to help those with mental health disorders. So we won't embarrass her, but somebody is observing today to kind of learn that oftentimes we have to do public education. It can't just be what happens in our office at Cornerstone. We have to do public education to let people know that mental health, behavioral health is available in our community, and that's what you're doing today, and you have a student observing you.
Yes, we do. So we have a bachelor's level intern. She is getting ready to complete her bachelor's of social work from WIU, and so she has been with us since January, and she will be with us until May. And so she is, watching all aspects of social work, what that means in direct service, but also this part of it, providing community education and just helping the community know what resources are available, and maybe even little tips to help them on their mental health journey, wellness journey.
Or to let them know, well, I am struggling, maybe I should make a phone call.
Absolutely.
And what she doesn't know, and Drew will explain it to her during the commercial break, is I am probably the number one person in need of mental health counseling right now. So Trina is giving me a free hour. See, she's not even billing me for this.
And that's all of us at some point in our life, right? Every counselor
every
is a counselor.
Person.
Every person would benefit from counseling at some point because of life struggles.
That is so true. I've been there myself, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, continue to need to wash and rewear that t-shirt several times. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's kind of like having a cold. Oh, I got over that. Well, guess what? You might get another one.
That's true.
Be prepared. Well, Trina Vogel, let's talk about this screen time issue. Now, there's really two components of it. You know, some people are very happy that children now have cell phones because they feel more safe. Mom, come and get me. Or, I missed the bus or whatever. You know, they have direct access, more communication instantaneously with their parents. But the problem with that is, as we all know, children, they don't always go with the parameters. If you say, now I only want you to use this for an emergency, their emergency is seeing the latest TikTok video.
Correct.
And a lot of school teachers are really just fed up with it. They say they cannot communicate and teach because the children are out literally scrolling. I mean, that finger is just moving all the time until they find something that catches their interest for 5 seconds, and they look at that, and then they scroll on. This is very disruptive in the classroom, and a lot of school teachers are saying, we're just not going to have it anymore. A lot of school districts have restricted cell phone use in the classroom, including Quincy Public Schools, and now state organizations, maybe even the federal government, is going to maybe get involved. I hate the federal overreach. I like the local school district to make up its own decisions. But without a doubt, teachers will say they're looking into the eyes of students they've never seen before because they're finally not looking down at their device. They're actually listening to the lesson that's being taught. That's just one of the dangers, is academic fall behind. But you want to talk about some other dangers today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that in 2007, the iPhone was released. And since that
and
time...
And I got one last year. No, I'm...
And since that time, we also know there's been lots of research, so much research, and yet we're still not grasping this as a community and the negative impact it has on our mental health. The research shows very clearly that the more time we spend on electronic devices, the increase in mental health symptoms, particularly those related to attention, to focus, anxiety, and depression. And I could speak more so on the research and what it shows. It's pretty depressing. We know that when we are on a screen, that it's instant gratification. And so our brain is always looking for that next thing. So video games that move so quickly and all of the technology, and that's actually altering our kids' brains. It increases dopamine. So the like Octolus, is that what they're called? Oculus, showing my age here. The Oculus, just how fast that is. So Mary, do you know what those are? You put them over and it's almost like a virtual reality, and that's all you can see, right? And
that's why people are constantly breaking their television sets by playing, trying to hit the pinata in virtual time, and then they take the chandelier out. Yeah,
just the stimuli that goes along with that, and then turning that off, and how all of us respond after that. But also even like social media, the likes, the shares, the all of those release immediate dopamine, which is very similar to such as the dopamine released for a gambling addiction, a slot machine, or even drugs. So it releases this dopamine within our brain, that this pleasure center where we just keep going back and back and back, and it's so hard to turn that off.
Well, and I think people don't understand that, but I remember from my college days 45 years ago that there were rats in the laboratory that were given a pleasure, and they could hit this bar and get some kind of, you know, dopamine pleasure, and then they could hit another bar and get food. They would starve to death because all they wanted to do was hit the dopamine bar.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, once a day they could tear themselves away from the dopamine bar. And the problem with that is the more you'd use it, the more you need to use it. So it used to be like, oh, once an hour I need a dopamine hit. Now it's just, they just sit there and that's all they can do because they become desensitized to it. And I think this is what happens in this world of social media. And again, not only is it academically thwarting, because you can learn things on a screen.
Absolutely.
But this morning I scrolled on a screen for 20 minutes, and trust me, I learned a lot about Kylie Jenner's hairdresser dying. You know, things that really have no true meaning in my life. I started out with good stuff, like what's happening in the world and Ukraine and Gaza, and then it quickly... As I scrolled and scrolled and scrolled, it quickly got into the more, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
But yet, I couldn't stop reading.
Right.
And so everybody succumbs to it. They really do.
Yeah. And even bringing up the topic of news, you know, obviously it's important to keep ourselves informed. And
well,
at the same time, at the same time, man, that can really bring us down around the world, the tragedy that's happening. And so for some patients who come into my office who are struggling with depression or anxiety, one of the first recommendations I will make for them is turn off the news. Don't listen to the news.
That's all we have time for today with Trina Vogel. We'll be back. We'll be back with, I don't know what, but we'll be back. No, I think you're right. I mean, you know, I give the news so often, but really, if you listen 7 minutes every morning, that's all you need to do is listen to one newscast 7 minutes, and you'll kind of know what's going on.
Yeah.
And if you listen 3 minutes at the top of the hour, you know what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. So in 10 minutes, you can pretty much be a well-rounded person that has enough information to function in your day.
Right.
But we tend to... just sit and listen and listen and listen. And And again,
and watch.
And
right?
watch
these tragic things happening
repeatedly.
To individuals. Exactly.
I mean, and every year it happens. On 9/11, we're going to see the Twin Towers collapse. On Kennedy's assassination day, we're going to see his head blown off. I mean, it's going to keep happening over and over and over again, to where people who weren't alive when those things happened will now be exposed to them too.
Yeah.
They may not be able to process the trauma the way somebody else did. But you mentioned 2007 is when the iPhone was invented and when this really started becoming more problematic for the addiction level.
Mm-hmm.
But I think back to when television sets became common in people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I think, a correlation between the television set and the TV dinner,
mm-hmm.
which you can set up and watch TV and eat, and the complete loss of family mealtime.
Yeah.
Many children have never eaten at a table.
Yeah.
They eat in the living room
mm-hmm.
and watch TV
yeah.
while they're eating off a tray or off their lap.
Yep.
And they don't really know what it's like to sit down and have a meal with family.
Yeah.
And therefore, all that interaction, that personal social interaction, is being lost.
Absolutely. And we know that, too. Those family dinners are so crucial. It fills a family's cup. I don't even think they even realize it, like the benefits of sitting down as a family. But that there's also correlation there, that families who sit as a family and communicate and have a meal together, kids tend to do better academically at school, be more engaged in groups and clubs and sports, improved overall mood by family, by connection, right? Connection instead of being at a screen.
Well, because your family cares about you and they're there
right.
for you, whereas as much
Absolutely.
As I love the Kardashians, every time I really am feeling low, I try to get Kim on the phone. She's never available
oh,
to
man.
Take my call. I know. And, you know, she only has 40 million people liking her. I don't know why she can't find time for me, but it's really changed our whole family dynamic, this whole business of having this device, because I go out to restaurants and I see it. On one hand, it's great. Let the kid play, you know, Jumping Mario or whatever to keep them quiet until the main
the
course
comes.
I kind of see that. You know, it would be, you know. But on the other hand, they're not talking to their child. They're not explaining, oh, look, see that lady over there? See, she has a hat on her head. Or
right.
do you see
playing
that? Playing
I Spy.
Yeah, play I Spy or ooh, look at that food going by. What do you think that is? You know.
Exactly.
I mean, not being obtrusive, just talking quietly at your table. Who has the prettiest dress on in here? Or what are you most looking forward to? Have you tried something new? Or, you know,
yeah.
they don't talk to their kids anymore. Mm-hmm. People, I've actually seen mothers, fathers, and children sitting at a restaurant, all of them on their device. And then they eat their meal and they're still scrolling on their device. It's like I can eat with my right hand and scroll with my left and
yeah.
it's the perfect world. And I can't imagine what's on that device that's more important than talking to your own child.
Right, or at least the dopamine, right? And
okay.
and what we don't realize is that connection, that too releases dopamine. All of those examples that you just said, that's fantastic examples of how we can engage with our children or, you know, communicate with each other. But yeah, we have a need for connection and it promotes mental wellness. And so, I mean, some suggestions that I make is that to be in common areas of the house, right? So if that's us as adults, if it's youth, kids, but that we're not all in separate rooms with doors closed. So being in common areas, have phone-free, electronic-free times. Meal time is fantastic. I also love the idea of creating like a home base. So that means like identifying a time of day where your family comes together. And no matter what happened in our own lives, we all went separate directions today. This is our home base. This is where we feel safe, secure. We can connect. So it doesn't take a lot. It can be pretty simple things that really promote mental wellness.
I remember when I was in kindergarten, Mrs. Henrietta Graw, my kindergarten teacher, could not compete with television. Television was ruining the youth. We were too busy watching television. So during storybook time, Mrs. Graw took an old refrigerator box and made a giant TV out of it. And she would sit with her head sticking out the TV window, and she would read the story to us so we could watch TV.
I love it.
And I'll never forget Stevie Altmix went up one day and tried to change the channel. That didn't go over well. But, you know, but I thought to myself, I now look back on that and think, wow, she was already fighting back in 1963. The scourge of kids don't want to read a book anymore. We want to watch TV.
Yeah.
So here was Henrietta sitting in her big screen TV, big hole cutout, much bigger than a regular TV screen, with her book, but sitting there in the television set. It's time to have story time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating. Every generation has the new scourge. And, and again, we don't want to make it sound like, but for kids, 2007, the iPhone comes out. It's 225.
Yeah.
There's a whole group of people who have never done anything but scroll.
Yes.
And so they don't know anything but scrolling. They don't know how to go to a dinner party and have conversation.
Yeah. So there was I believe it was a national campaign. It was Phone Free February, I believe was what it was called. And I kind of caught on a little bit late because I don't listen to the news, Mary. So I missed most of February for this.
Once again, we're almost out of time today for Trina Vogel. Okay. Well, see, there are some good things on the news.
Yes, there are. So Phone Free February, and a lot of some schools across the nation were utilizing this, and they noticed huge benefits of the students, and they even interviewed these high school students who are saying, oh, wow, the cafeteria is so much louder, but it's a good louder. They're communicating, they're connecting. But yeah, so you're right. It's this generation and going forward, anyone born 2007 or after, it's like, what are they talking about? Why do they keep talking about this topic?
I mean, it's interesting because they have a lot to talk about, but they don't talk about local incidents. Like, I'll always remember Stevie Altmix going up and changing Henrietta Gras' channel, you know, because he didn't like that story. But the truth of the matter is, now there are TikTok videos of kids doing cute things like that all the time. The trouble is, when you see Stevie Altmix then, you know, at your class reunion or you run him into the grocery store, you don't have any memories because you never talked to him.
Yeah.
You spend your whole life interacting with all these international figures. Again, you know, I'm pretty strangely, not anymore, because my husband absolutely put a stop to it. But before I got married, I mean, the Kardashians, the Real Housewives, I knew a lot about the goings-on of these people, much to really my embarrassment. Because, you know, I could have been filling my mind with scientific news that was of interest or could actually do something to the planet. But no, I chose to just, you know, sit there and let this pablum be, you know, repeated to me. But this has always been a problem. People have always looked for entertainment, if you want to call it that. And again, once we understand the scientific principle, the dopamine principle, you want that dopamine, so you got to get your kids something else besides the screen time to give them the dopamine. So we'll talk about that. But first, we have to take a break.
Sure.
Head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. My guest today is Trina Vogel, a therapist with Cornerstone. We're talking about the fact that young people especially are experiencing more depression, more anxiety. They're really not doing well. You thought high school was bad when you were a kid. Now somebody takes a TikTok video of you and spreads it all over the world, and, you know, you want to commit suicide. So there's lots of things that are going on that are a little bit amping up from when we were kids. The good news is there are good therapists that can help you and your family and your children deal with that. Rex Battery brings you this report. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. If you know veterans that you want to nominate, please do so, because we have them on every month here on the Mary Griffith Show, and they really are looking for you to mention veterans that need help. And also, you know, we talked today about mostly the teenage or young adult segment that's needing mental health counseling because of too much screen time and too much Facebook and TikTok exposure. But let's not forget our veterans, and Cornerstone and other places also have counseling for them. So Trina Vogel, we're talking about the science behind why kids start scrolling and just won't stop. Kind of like in the old days when you were playing baseball and your mom would say, come in for dinner. One more inning, Mom, or I'm up next. This is not a new thing. Mm-hmm. Children from the caveman time have been saying, no, Mom, I'm just going to club one more, you know, right. pterodactyl to death, and then I'll be back home, you know, in time for, you know, for the cave soup or whatever we're having tonight. So it really isn't anything new. It's just we have a new device. And just like Elvis Presley's hips were just too much for the mothers of the 1950s to take. And now look how mild that is compared to people appearing naked at the Academy Awards, you know, and stuff like that. But these devices can really cause problems because of that dopamine effect. It's the first addiction children will have. And if they can get addicted to that, then gambling, alcohol, eating disorders, almost everything else can just follow right in, because once your body is trained to crave something, the craving won't really stop. So talk a little bit about how we can break that dopamine response to the screen time and redirect it to something more positive, please.
Yeah, so we definitely need limits set on screen time, and each family will have their own. I think it is very beneficial for our mental health that be limited to 2 hours or less. That is the standard. That's what the research shows.
The average child is doing almost 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
So you're talking about not just taking it down by half. You're talking about a 75% reduction in screen time just to get to 2 hours a day.
Yes.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And so, you know, I mean, when families come in and maybe a youth is having issues with body image, self-esteem, bullying that's happening online, or, I mean, even all of these filters, right, that alters a young person's brain, that I'm supposed to be that glowy or that dewy or whatever. Really limiting that. Yeah, you're right. We're going to have to limit a lot, but take small steps. Small
right.
steps. So the being in the common areas of room, not having electronics in bedrooms, spending that time, if you are on electronic, do something together. Watch a family movie together.
Right. A parent can't just say, don't do this. The parent is going to have to discipline themselves, too, to have an
Absolutely.
Alternative. And again, if you're trying to cut down from almost constant to 2 hours a day, you better start with big. It's like, today, kids, we're going to run a marathon.
Exactly.
I've noticed we're all out of shape. Let's buckle up, and we're going to do 26.2 miles today.
And we're going to fail, right?
No, we're going to fail. So first of all, before you take the phone away, develop a strategy of this is what we're going to do instead of the phone
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
You might actually have a good time if it's only a half hour.
Yeah.
Or if you take a break and give them the phone for 5 minutes out in the wilderness and say, now you can see what Kim Kardashian or whoever, Millie Bobby Brown, I don't know who the cool kids are anymore, is doing. And then we're going to go back and look at the spotted owl before it becomes extinct. So.
Yeah. Yes. And I think, too, starting with self-awareness, like what am I modeling for the people within my household, or what am I modeling for what am I modeling, how much time am I spending on my own electronic devices? And so the more we can put those down, the better. The better.
Right. And we have become a screen. I'm looking at a screen right now. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at a screen. It's become so. I used to have to tell my guests. I mean, years ago, I used to say, now I may lose eye contact with you because I'm going to have to look over here at my equipment. Mm-hmm. I don't even bother to say that anymore because now everybody knows.
Right.
You're never going to get 100% of anyone's. When was the last time anyone really looked at you for 3 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
So everybody's constantly distracted by something happening, even if it's just their phone dinging.
Right. Very true. We have to work really hard for that, even in therapy sessions. Right. I mean, you mentioned, you know, when's the last time someone even looked at you or that focused? And that is the safety of a therapy session, that it is one-on-one. It is requires individuals to be vulnerable. And yes, I'm looking at you, and I see you, and I hear you, and I value you.
And you can't say, oh, I've got to take this, Mary.
Absolutely
We're right
not.
In the middle of you telling me why you're having a nervous breakdown, but if you'll just excuse me for a minute,
right.
I just got an alert from Amazon that my favorite thing is on sale, and I've got to order it right now. And
exactly.
I sometimes feel that children, and we've all felt this way. I mean, I know I felt this way when my dad was watching football. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
Pay some attention
yeah.
to me, Papa.
Right.
You know, I
right.
know it's football. You know, it can't just all be halftime. I mean, you literally would kind of gauge when halftime was so that you could get some attention from Dad, you
yeah.
know. And I don't want to say that to make my dad sound evil or anything. I mean, dads like to watch football on the weekend. He worked
right.
hard all week. He just wants to watch the dang football game, you know.
Yeah.
But it's always been. It's nothing
yeah.
new. It's always been.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're focusing a lot on, you know, how this impacts kids, right? You know, academically, depression, anxiety, all of these things. Same thing for adults. You know, the impact of screen time on us, it lowers our mood. It lowers our ability to be able to function. It can definitely impact our work or our productivity at work. Depression, anxiety, it's there for us as well, not just kids.
Yeah. And so the way we're reacting and interacting as families is changing. It absolutely
yeah.
is changing. And so really it's the adults in the room that have to start to modify it.
Yes.
And the school districts mm-hmm. districts are doing it by saying you can have yours, you know, at lunch hour or in your locker break. But maybe, and I don't know how you would ever monitor this, because the minute they're out of your sight, I mean, I put on blue eyeshadow the minute my mother wasn't looking, you know, which was verboten, of course. But, you know, and then the girls would all roll their skirts up to be, you know, the appropriate,
mm-hmm.
not the nun approved, but the appropriate length, according to us. So kids are going to do this. But if there's any way you can try to
yeah,
give them an alternative.
That's right. And the alternative is often us. Right. It is connection with each other. It
oh my
is,
God,
hey,
now
I'm
you
gonna...
expect people to be parents?
Yeah.
Trina.
and adults to connect with other adults. And, yeah, put the phones away. Keep them in pockets, purses, wherever. But we know that connection releases dopamine as well. And we are created and designed, and we need connection in order to continue mental wellness.
And we all know that we're just very close to the fact that we won't even, they'll laugh about how we used to have to pick out a phone and look at it or a device and look at it, because now it's going to be implanted in our brain the moment we're born.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. When we come back, Drew may have something to say. I don't know. Well, there's a disappointment. either way, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Trina Vogel, my guest today, giving adults some advice on how to get their kids off of the addiction of screen time. Find something else to put that dopamine in their brain. And speaking of addictions, here's Mark Patrick. Maybe in addition to losing weight, stopping smoking, maybe you can get off TikTok if you go to this Mark Patrick seminar. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We will hear from Drew Quintero, and it will be exciting. But first, therapist Trina Vogel is here. And, you know, again, we can talk all we want about this, but it's very difficult. And, you know, I'm an expert on raising children, having never had any of my own. So I know it's just, well, just tell them they can't do that. You know, yeah, Mary.
Yeah.
Did that work for you when your mom mm-hmm. said that? No. So you've got some really good, just practical advice. If you want kids to cut down on screen time, you've got to give them the dopamine hit, the chemical fun thing that's making them want to do that. You've got to replace that. So
absolutely.
You've got some pretty good ideas for family or mother-daughter or whatever events that you can do to get them to interact more.
Yeah, and even friends, adults with adults. But the power of connection, it is huge. It releases that dopamine as well. And so simply having a conversation with somebody, going to coffee or dinner with someone, playing a game. So a family game also releases dopamine. And if kiddo's struggling with, we want to win, right? There's lots of cooperative games where everyone wins together. You win as a family. Listening to music, having a dance party. As you mentioned earlier, those meal times. and even scheduling maybe one-on-one with individuals. If that's your spouse, like, hey, we're doing this one-on-one, just us. We're going to go somewhere. We're going to have a, we're going to talk. We're going to go for a walk in nature, whatever it is, or a one-on-one, you know, daddy-daughter date or whatever it is. But those moments really help us feel connected, secure, seen, heard, and valued, and the, all of that releases dopamine as well.
I like that, seen, heard, and valued, mm-hmm. because, you know, a stranger that, you know, it's okay to have a pen pal. When we were little, we had to actually write them and wait for the return, but it's okay to have friends online and play games with your friends online. But they're not going to be there for you when you have, when your doggy dies, or when you have a decision,
when you're feeling
or you didn't get the job you wanted, or you didn't make the cheerleading squad, or you can't decide what school you want to go to, what college you want to go to. You've got to have real, tangible, I can touch you friends. And those are the kind of things that also do the dopamine. So parents, start small.
Yep.
Don't expect them. If you haven't eaten dinner at the table for 2 years, just plan a special night. And then see if you can replicate it one night a week, and then see if you can get it going more.
Yeah,
it's just like training for the marathon.
Yeah, homemade pizza, right? Roll out the dough.
Roll out that dough. Let the dog eat it when you're not looking. Okay, Drew Quintero, you have 2 minutes to enlighten us on whatever it is that you think is happening in our world that we must know about. And I say golf is just around the corner.
That is right, Mary. We are getting ready to host our 20th golf event, and it will take place on Friday, May 16th at Spring Lake Country Club. We are in the early stages of making this a great anniversary event. We are so excited. Information will be going out middle of March for those who are interested. And 20 years ago, we started this golf benefit. We added Dancing with the Local Stars 15 years ago. So this is a big year. 2025 is a big year for our fundraising events, big anniversary years. And I just want to thank Star Radio and WTAD for all of their support that they give to Cornerstone through sponsorships, allowing us to be on the radio every month to share this information with the community. It takes a village, and we are happy to be here and have you a part of our village.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and you know, everybody needs mental health help at some time. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. We all can change our behavior, and also things act on us. We can't control what our parents did to us, what our coworkers are doing to us. We can only control our response to that. So if you need help with that response, which is the only thing you can control, really, there will be some qualified counselors to give you great help at Cornerstone or any health agency, wherever you're living. You know, this is not just an ad for Cornerstone. They come on knowing that they couldn't solve all of your problems if they had to. They couldn't possibly take all those clients. So just call your local health care provider. You can start with Cornerstone. Start with your primary care physician. Just do it. And I had so much fun at Dancing with the Local Stars. It was so great. And that, you guys hit that out of the park. You're a great MC.
Thank you.
Kept it moving, kept it going. I really like those kind of events where you're not just sitting there like, oh, now we have to wait to see who won. It's going to be boring and forever. It was really fun. So thank you for entertaining us.
Thank you.
We'll do it all again next month.